Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce Radio. Join us weekly as we feature top professionals, talk about travel and tourism, hospitality, arts and culture, commercial retail, and other exciting events happening in our city. Visit MiamiBeachChamber.com to learn more about how this premier, influential South Florida organization can help spotlight your business to the greater Miami and Miami Beach market. And now enjoy our show with your host, Chamber President and CEO, Jerry Libben.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to the Chamber Radio Network. We have a special guest here today, Nick DeNito, who is the President and CEO of Liberty Entertainment Group, has joined us. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
Nick, you really represent, first of all, I think you may be my first international caller. Nick is joining us today from Toronto, and I believe you're sitting in a castle, is that right?
Well, currently I'm sitting in Castle Loma in Toronto, and it's actually a 200,000 square foot castle on 5 acres in the center of the city, one of our most historic sites of Toronto, and a great tourist attraction, and it's one of the properties that we operate and run for the City of Toronto.
It's really incredible, and so I guess you do qualify as my first international call-in show. But you really have done, as an organization, some astounding things in terms of historic preservation. You've been recognized as a company and individually by all kinds of organizations. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I think to start the program, if you could give a little bit of personal background for our listeners, a little bit about yourself and how your company has evolved, I think that would help set the tone.
Well, I was born in Italy and came over to Canada at a very young age. My parents were immigrants and wanted to bring a new life to their family. And obviously, the U.S. is a land of opportunity, and Canada is considered that as well. So they ended up in Toronto. In growing up in the restaurant industry, because that's what my dad ended up doing, I've got a firsthand knowledge of the industry from a busboy to running bars, waitering in the kitchen, and so on. But my parents wanted me to have a career. They wanted the aspirations of their son doing something differently. So I did attend university. I'm a graduate engineer from the University of Toronto, and I worked for several years with Exxon, one of the largest companies in the world, and doing their construction coordination for them. But my passion was in the hospitality industry, so I've basically dovetailed my engineering degree and my hospitality background from as a kid, and developed a hospitality group, which is probably one of the biggest in Toronto and Canada, and now expanding into the United States, and it's called.
How large is the organization? How many establishments? How many employees?
We have 18 properties, but when we call our properties 18, Castle Loma, as I said, is 200,000 square feet, and the Liberty Grand is 100,000 square feet. So we have some fairly large event spaces in our portfolio, and we have nightclubs in our portfolio and several restaurants. So 18 properties in total with over 1,600 employees.
1,600. That's amazing. Now, is it the first time that you've ventured into the U.S. with your three properties here in South Florida? Is that correct?
Yes. So my first venture into the U.S., and, you know, it's interesting in that for us to come down, it would have to be something unique, something that fit within our portfolio and something we thought we could do better than anybody else at. And so when the opportunity at the Coral Gables Country Club came up, it was one I couldn't turn away. But the other thing is, my son was at the University of Miami at the time, so this was a little bit of a personal thing. So my wife and I can spend more time in Miami visiting our son. At the same time, I can continue to be busy and work. And so the Coral Gables Country Club was a historic site. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, we have an affinity to historic sites. We have five of them in our portfolio. And when I looked at the Coral Gables Country Club, it was a historic site for Miami. It was a building which needed some TLC and some new vision in terms of how it would be operating. And it would have the magnitude of space that would make sense for me to spend the time and effort to be down there. It was 45,000 square feet. We took this old, tired building, which was really an eyesore for the community, and now it is one of the pinnacle event venues in Coral Gables, and the Coral Gables Country Club has been a pillar in the community now with respect to the events and the kinds of things we've done, both from a charitable organization standpoint and from, you know, the large events that we do, including personal events like weddings. So we've become that home to a lot of brides, and we're creating a lot of memories.
And obviously, so, you bring the detailed expertise of an engineer's eye to all of the design, and you were recognized by the Dade Heritage Trust and honored by them for the outstanding restoration project of that property. So clearly that is a feather in the organization's cap and your personal cap as well. How long has that been operational?
We're into our almost our fifth year. It will be December, and it will be 5 years. And along with that, we've also opened up the Coral Gables Athletic Club, which we have 1,000 members. And so there was this big white elephant in the community, which nobody went to. And all of a sudden, we have 1,000 members who are joining our fitness club and our boot camp and our swimming pool. We've created a Liberty Cafe within the property, so it's open to the general public. And, every Sunday morning, you'll see, everybody coming for breakfast at the Liberty Cafe. Tuesdays, we do the half-price gelato, and all the kids are coming with their parents after school for the gelato. So we've become this real sort of focal point in the community. And, sometimes you look at that and say, well, how does a 45,000-square-foot commercial property fit in with a community? We've figured that delicate balance and reached out to the community, reached out to the charitable organizations, reached out to our neighbors, and done some great things, and it's worked out beautifully.
Well, I'm going to read off just a few of the accomplishments and recognition awards that you have already received in your distinguished career in Toronto and in Canada, and then we're going to take a brief commercial, and when we come back from the commercial, we're going to transition into your foray here into Miami Beach, and we're going to talk about that. But before we get there, I just want people to know of some of the outstanding recognition. You've been recognized as by Toronto's Construction Association with the Best of Best Award, Toronto's Nightclub Lifetime Achievement Award, the Bartender's Ball Lifetime Achievement Award, and was named one of the top 30 Italian business people in Canada by Partners Magazine, the official publication of the Italian Chamber of Commerce. You're also listed in the Who's Who among top executives in Kaleo Publications of North America. So we are really honored to have you on the program, and we're going to take a short break, and then, Nick, we're going to come back and talk about your property here in Miami Beach, which we're most excited about.
Chilo is
Thank
the
you so much.
Eatery in all of South Beach. Created by Liberty Entertainment Group, this bold and beautiful space is a blend of old, rustic, and modern industrial chic. Handmade traditional Italian cibo is a true taste of authentic Southern cooking. For more information on this beautiful venue, visit www.cibowinebar.com. Again, that's www.cibowinebar.com.
Okay, and once again, we have Nick DiDonato. Nick, tell us a little bit about what inspired the Cibo in South Beach, and I know that's not a historic renovation. That's actually a brand new facility. What was the inspiration there, and how have things gone so far?
Well, aside from having an affinity to historic properties in our event spaces, we also have restaurants. And Cibo, which in a literal translation in Italian is food, so Cibo actually is food in Italian. Is a brand that we wanted to create after many years of being in the restaurant industry. I decided I wanted to focus on one brand, which we will expand upon and do multiple venues with it. We did our first one in Coral Gables. And the challenge for us was we at Cibo wanted to be true to the culture and true to a cuisine, which I am very familiar with. You know, it had to be a restaurant where if I took my mother, who's 84 years old, and my dad – to dinner, they would say, this is home cooking. This is how we eat in Italy. This is the food we make and we prepare at home. So
I'm sure they'd probably be your toughest critics, right? So if it passes the parent,
well, they would always be my, to tell you the truth, they're my toughest critics in all my other restaurants, because I haven't done a true Italian restaurant. I've done fine dining, Asian, casual. But, you know, I wanted, when I did an Italian restaurant, I had to make sure I could make my dad proud, who's been in this business for all his life, and, you know, be true to the cuisine of my birth. So we created Chivo with that in mind, and we started the first one in the United States in Coral Gables, and it worked out well because we are on Miracle Mile right nearby our other facilities. So in terms of location and proximity, it was very good. But it was also important to be in Coral Gables for us because our brand is a casual, approachable style of cuisine, and which means that we need it in a neighborhood. We need it where people will come regularly, as opposed to just being this event space where you come on Friday and Saturdays only. We wanted to be in an area where we had families, we had people who would come on a regular basis, and then, you know, on those special nights also come on weekends. So Coral Gables seemed to be the right demographic and fit for us. Having said that, we also believed, you know, and this is how we moved to the South Beach. What I found in, you know, my years of coming to South Beach, what I found is there's a real niche market for a restaurant which could provide the thousands of people who actually live in South Beach the opportunity to make a local area place to go and eat. Now, it was almost like the people who lived in South Beach had to leave South Beach to get a casual style restaurant which was affordable, approachable, casual enough, because everything surrounding them was a tourist sort of haven where people would come. They'd charge you, they'd overcharge you for your food. It's difficult to get in and all those things. So when we moved to South Beach, specifically our model was based on the residents that are there in the Continuum, in the Portofino, in the all the other condos in that area. So we believe that would be our core audience, and we would be busy all week. And we also believe that because of the brand that we have, because of the style of restaurant we built, which is a big one, we would also receive the attention of the tourist market. And so far, you know, it looks like we've been right because the restaurant's been extremely busy. The key, though,
and you have a fairly large footprint there. I mean, it's like 12,000 square feet inside space and a considerable amount of outside patio space as well, correct?
Yeah, it was a 6,000 square foot patio. And so when we came to South Beach, I know the neighborhood was very apprehensive because they just felt we were just a very large restaurant, which would bring probably more traffic and more noise and bring people from all over. And I think very quickly, the neighborhood has embraced us, as we've done in Coral Gables with the Coral Gables Country Club, 45,000 square feet in the middle of a neighborhood. We work with our neighborhood, we work with the community, and, you know, try to engage that community to want to be part of our success. And that's what's happened so far. So although it's 12,000 square feet with a 6,000 square foot patio, I tell you, most of it is filled with the people who are in the community and are really enjoying it.
Which is really a testament to you and the organization that you came into the community and worked with the community. Having served as a commissioner in Miami Beach for 8 years, you know, I salute you. And too often people come into town with the mentality, well, this is what we did in New York and that's how we're going to do it here, or this is how it worked over there. You understood that you need to come in and work with the community and make your program fit in as opposed to jamming it in, and I salute you for that. One other thing that I want you to touch on is you've had a great history of philanthropy with your organization, and talk a little bit about that corporate philosophy.
Well, you know, I always believe it's important to give back, and I am actually really privileged to have the opportunity to give back in a significant way, and it doesn't always have to come from my pocketbook. And the kinds of things we do in my organization, for example, and I think this is it's very important, is that we contribute over $500,000 a year back to charities. And what we do is we continue to work with charities who need to do events, who need to raise money, and we are the sponsors of those events. We help them, we embrace them, we work with them. So we've created many events for some of the charities here in Canada in terms of developing a concept, developing an idea for them, and giving them a kickstart to raising funds. And we continually do that. And when organizations come to me, we find ways to work with them. So in that way, I'm able to give back. But I also believe it's important for me personally to give back, and so I sit on several boards. I've sat on the boards of the Hospital for Sick Kids Foundation in Toronto. I've sat on Variety Village, which is much like a Best Buddies organization, which is a property for handicapped children. I sit on several other boards, including, I'm currently sitting on the board of the Toronto Transit Commission, which is the third largest transit commission in North America. And you say, what's a restaurateur doing on the Transit Commission? Well, the city asked me to support them in terms of developing the service aspect of the commission and work with them. So I give back my time, and I give back the opportunity for people to work with us in our properties. And we're doing a lot of that right now in Chibo. As a matter of fact, I think tonight we might have one of the elementary school fundraisers at Chibo on a rooftop patio.
Fabulous. Listen, a real salute to you, and I want to encourage all of our listeners, take the opportunity to go to Chibo in South Beach, because it's a place where Nick's parents have approved the authenticity of the Italian cuisine, so you can be sure this is going to be a great night out. Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and hope to see you at Chibo.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us, and come back next week and visit Miami Beach Chamber of Commerce Radio. To learn more about the Miami Beach Chamber and how you can be spotlighted on the show, visit MiamiBeachChamber.com to learn how this premier, influential South Florida organization can help spotlight your business to the greater Miami and Miami Beach market. Now go out and make it a great Chamber day.